Hello, everybody. Hello, hello. Come on in. I'm going to get my name changed and then I'll give you guys a minute or two to come on in. As you're coming in and as I'm just kind of setting up things, let me know what if you have a beverage tonight. Do you have tea? Do you have some wine? Do you have some water? I've got a little bit of a, I would call it probably fancy water, I guess. I just warmed up some water and I put some lemon and honey in it. Feels lush. Grapefruit seltzer. Nice. Plain ice water. Yeah. Sometimes I just love a plain ice water, especially in the summer. Can't go wrong with that. Okay. This is the April book study call. We are discussing the first 8 chapters of the book tonight. And so go ahead and grab whatever you need. If you need your book, if you need your study guide, whatever it is, go ahead and grab that, have it handy. And this is a special kind of call just because it's the book study club and always like for it to feel like an actual book club. So even though y'all can't all come to my house, we can meet up here in Zoom and a few of you can raise your hand and we can come on and discuss the book together. So this is not the call where it's going to be just me. I would love to see who would like to raise their hand and come on and discuss the book with me. Like if this book has really been resonating with you, if you've gotten any kind of ahas, if it's prompted any questions, or if you've been, you know, tying it back to No BS and what we learn here inside the membership, if it's, you know, if you've been tying it back to just like how you grew up and everything, and just maybe it's helping you address some things. If any of that sounds like you, I would love for you to raise your hand tonight. And then a handful of us can come on and discuss the book, because a one-person discussion won't be very fun. Okay, let me see. Yes, make sure your chat is set to everyone. We've got Coach Lisa here in the chat. So if you need any sort of support, like if you need a link to the study guide or anything like that, she'll have that for you. So glad you're here, Donna. I'm glad you're having a good day. Shops a lot. I really want a Cherry Coke Zero. That's funny. Awesome. Okay. Awesome. All right. So like I said, this is the book study call part one. We're discussing the first 8 chapters of the book. I have some pre-prepared questions for us to discuss. And then before we dive into that, I'll just tell you a little bit about me too, just in case anybody here is new, or maybe like you've seen me around, but you don't know a lot about me. I'm Coach Yesenia. I'm one of the coaches here at No BS. And I am a single mom. I have 2 girls. I live in Georgia and I joined No BS close to 3 years ago. I have lost most of my weight at this point. And I work with several private clients inside of the membership. I run calls like this. Sometimes I run the book studies. I run some of our coaching calls sometimes. Where can we get the study guide? Okay, so Lisa will put that in the chat for you. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Let me go ahead and get my notes pulled up. And like I said, it can't just be me, you guys. So if you would love to come on and discuss the book with me, go ahead and raise your hand. We've already got a couple, so that's great. Okay. Yeah, just if you raise your hand, just make sure you, like, you've got a good connection and that you're like in a good environment. Other than that, we will go ahead and get going. So we've got Kathy. I'll go ahead and bring you up. Okay, come on, Zoom. Awesome. Who else? Who else? Who else? Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for joining me tonight. Okay, who else? Come on, you guys. Let's get one more person at least. Who else would like to come on with Kathy and me and discuss the book? Okay, awesome. Where are you coming in from, Kathy? Where are you from?
Columbus, Ohio.
Awesome.
Right, so is this your first?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you far from Columbus?
Yeah, it's like right in the middle of Ohio, so.
Yeah. Is this your first book study that you're doing, or have you done any of our other book studies?
First book study. And though I've read a couple of the books that you all have as favorites, which was nice, because I'm like, oh yeah, I've read that one. That's a good one. So it's given me a couple more ideas to read. This one was interesting. I'm only up to like chapter 5. And then I think I did read a little bit into 6. But I found it very interesting when I have read the book about trauma. Oh, shoot. Now I can't think of the name of it. Your body shows your, trauma, how it affects your body. I can't think of the name of it.
Says, is it The Body Keeps Score?
That's it. The Body Keeps.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't even heard of that one. I'm going to have to check that one out. Hey, Tracy. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Sure.
All right. Well, I'll make one last call. Would anybody else like to join the book club discussion? And don't feel like you have to like know what to say. Like, I have some questions for us. We're just, having like a friendly discussion here. Yeah, Kelly says, I read that book and then this book study happened. Perfect timing. Yeah, I really like this book. I have to say it's pretty different than any of the other book studies yet that we've done. It's a little bit different and it caught me off guard a little bit at first, but then I really got into it and found it really helpful. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. If anybody else raises their hand in a minute, we'll bring them up. Oh, look, we've got Linda. Yay. Okay. So we'll go ahead and get started. So my first question for you guys is, like, what was your first impression of the book? By the way, we're talking about how to do the work for, I think everybody knows what the book is, but just in case we have any newbies or if anybody is just like listening in and wanting to jump in and do the book study, it's How to Do the Work. And Lisa can put that link in the comments as well. All right, Kelly. Awesome. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
I just didn't look. I just clicked.
Okay, we've got a handful of us now. Awesome. Because I want to hear all of your opinions and perspectives and like how you're applying the book. So this is going to be great. Everyone's going to get a lot out of this. Before we jump into that question that I just said, since we have a handful of us here now, Kathy's in Ohio. I'm in Georgia. Tracy, where are you?
Utah.
Utah. Okay. What about you, Kelly?
DFW, Texas.
Okay. And Linda, where are you at?
Arizona.
Ooh. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So what was your first impression of the book as you began reading it? What'd you think?
I personally thought, well, I haven't really had trauma. I've never had sexual abuse, and I was thinking, oh, well, I don't know if this applies to me because I feel like I was raised in a pretty good house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my first thought. But then as I read along, I thought, I think we all have trauma. And, it may not be as bad as some of those things that happen to other people, but yes, definitely.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty like normal thought to have that like, oh, I didn't have trauma growing up, right? Like my childhood was fine. My parents loved me. And yeah, I thought that too. Like my childhood was pretty good. I had all my, I had enough food to eat. There was no like, you know, abuse or anything like that, but that was definitely something I got from the book for sure. It was just like, there's little T trauma, there's mm-hmm. big T trauma, there's maybe your parents didn't always listen to you or, you know, give you the attention you wanted. So, yeah.
Even what we've all been through in the last couple of years, that's a definitely. Long ongoing time to be stressed because of COVID and how all the other things that happened at the same time. Your body doesn't know the difference between, it just knows we've been stressed for a long time.
That is such a good point. Does anybody walk out in public now and there's a lot of people and it's just odd?
I'm actually a nurse that worked during COVID mm-hmm. and I ended up and quit in August because I have been so stressed out and I've had mm-hmm. illness after illness mm-hmm. and just all kinds of things going on that I can't explain. And I thought, you know, I think it's that.
Mm. Yeah. So at first you weren't sure if I don't know if I've had trauma, but then you realize maybe you have had some little T trauma.
Yes, definitely.
Like as you got reading more.
Yeah. You know, and I've always, I've had issues. I had a good family and we didn't have, you know, money worries, that kind of thing. But I had a brother who was always he was a younger brother and he was always like the wonder boy, you know, and he was into drugs and alcohol. They were always getting him out of trouble. And, you know, the last few years of my parents' life were like a nightmare to me. And I thought, oh my God, I look back on it now. And I thought, how did I ever get through that?
I think it speaks to like how resilient we are as kids too, that, you know, there are some things we go through that we look back and we're like, I can't believe I went through that and I'm here today. And then the other thing I thought about as I heard you talking, Kathy, was like, you know, a lot of us here say like, I had a good family growing up, like realizing maybe you have some little T trauma doesn't negate that either. Like you did have a good family and maybe there was like, some little T trauma in there too. And apparently that's like, apparently it's impossible, I think, to live your life without any sort of trauma. I'm not sure.
Take care of people all the time who are my age and they have, you know, a missing leg or they have, you know, all these issues. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm so lucky, you know, and, you know, compared to other people's, you know, traumas. When you look at it individually, what has happened to me has affected me.
Yeah.
I like what Kathy mentioned earlier, that book, The Body Keeps the Score. Mm-hmm. And you really do as a child, you know, like you will find a way to get what you need. And so your brain and it so just hits home with like trusting your body and how to do the work and just, you know, all of the no BS stuff with, you know, like we have those patterns ingrained within ourselves of what we did to survive. And then to get to that point where we're, you know, now all adults and we can look at it, you know, more objectively and realize, oh, okay, I don't need that to survive anymore. And we can start unwinding it. And, you know, and that's what this book, I have a pretty extensive trauma history. Mm-hmm. And so that's what led me to The Body Keeps the Score. So, but even if you just, you know, didn't have all your needs, like I highly suggest like reading that and then this, you know, to kind of get that understanding of how you're, I mean, it really, that's what I wanted to say. It really drills home that we're normal, you know, and that these ways that we learned how to adapt are so normal and they can predict so many other things. And then how to do the work actually leads you through how to do that work, which is just, sorry, it's just all like blowing my mind this month. I'm like, oh, all these things coming together.
Yeah. So that other book, what is it? The Body Keeps Score. That sounds like a good resource for anyone who wants to continue learning about this stuff and dive a little bit more into it. But yeah, I mean, it can be uncomfortable to read about some of this stuff and see how it applies to you. But like that, I think, you know, it'll be uncomfortable. I know for several of us, like I could see that in the Facebook group. Some of us were nervous about reading this book, but there's, other than that, I don't think there's any downside to reading about some of these topics and seeing if there's any, you know, potential healing, right, that you need to do, or just looking like, what was my little T trauma? What were some of those needs that were not met that maybe are playing into my life today?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I loved that she starts it out with chapter one is you are your own best healer. And just throughout that first chapter, I was underlining, you know, things that correlated perfectly with the trust your body that Jane's doing this month. You know, it's just been so cool to see some of the parallels there. I read this book when it first came out, so a year ago. And I, as a massage therapist, energy worker, I remember reading it going, oh my gosh, this is such great information, but didn't really apply it to me. But now since I've been in No BS and I'm reading it as, oh, how does it correlate with what we're being taught? It's just full, jam-packed with great information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Corinne read this book, I mean, way before it was even on my radar. And she knew we were going to be doing Trusting Your Body this month. And that's why she chose it, because she thought it would pair very well. And frankly, like a lot of us, you know, have been needing this work in one way or another. Right. Sometimes that's why, like, the weight loss piece of our journey can feel so hard to figure out, or it feels like we're taking two steps forward and then one step back. And why do I keep self-sabotaging? And why is it so hard to let go of this belief that it's, you know, that I can't do it? It's because it ties back into some of this, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe, like, maybe this was the mechanism that you learned growing up to, like, protect yourself or take care of yourself. Right. She talks about like disassociation, right? Like checking out, we call it checking out, numbing out. It's like, it was that's a protective response that we learned at some point. And that's how that got started. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Let's see. Another question I had for us is like, how does it tie back to what we're learning here inside of No BS? We've mentioned like trusting your body. It pairs very well with what we're learning in there about like being above home base, below home base, at home base. Have you guys
tied it? Nothing with food, definitely.
Yeah.
Or sleeping too much. It was was interesting.
That's a good point.
I was thinking about that disassociating. I thought, well, I don't know that I do that. Well, I go to bed. If I'm stressed out or I don't feel like dealing with stuff, I just go to bed. Or eat and go to bed. But and my mother did the same thing. I can remember, I was thinking about that today when I was reading that and about thinking about what you remember about your child life. And I thought, I always remember my mom taking naps. She was always laying down, but she worked, you know, and we were supposed to be quiet. And I'm doing the same thing in a way.
Yeah.
And distracted eating, the like, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone. I know I'm not alone because I've seen it in the Trust Your Body chats, but it's like the whole, you know, like you start having some difficult feelings. And so it's like, okay, TV on, food in mouth, you know, and the next thing you know, the pizza's gone.
I do that with my books. I pick up a book and I pick up some food and make everything go away.
Yeah. So it could be like eating, sleeping, shopping, drinking.
It's hard to even sit and relax if I don't have something to do that for me.
Yeah. Which just because you watch TV or read a book doesn't mean you're like numbing
out.
But
not,
sometimes we're doing it from that place. Yeah.
I had to fess up that's mostly why I do it. TV or a book to. You don't have to think about anything else. Relaxing just for relaxing doesn't happen.
Mm. Yeah. As you guys were reading the book, did any sort of like fears or anything like that come up for you? Like as you were learning, or even like, you know, there was like a chapter all about like how we were parented, like mm-hmm. things like that. Did anything like that come up for you? Like for me, it did. That's why I asked that question. Like my mug says world's best mom, but I remember I was like reading this book and all of a sudden, like I was just like, oh shit. Like, how am I traumatizing my kids? What's my the little kids? D trauma? Oh, yeah. Like, oh my, like, did mm-hmm. that come up for anybody else?
Oh yeah. I think
a lot. That.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to like work through that for sure.
Yeah. Sometimes I will ask my kids, they're all grown now. They're in their 30s. Yeah. One is 40. And I'm like, was I an okay mom? You know, because I worked, I was a single mom and my second husband was an abusive person. So, you know, I guess I didn't have a lot of trauma, but I worry about, you know, how it affected my children. So they're like, no, everything was fine.
Yeah. I was going to say, how did they respond?
Well, my daughter's always like, no, mom, you were a good mom, you know, and my son.
Again, speaks to the resiliency of kids, like how we can go through some really tough shit and come out and be okay.
Yeah, and I apologize. You know, I married my second husband and and we were only married like 2 years, but he started to become, my kids were high school age, become abusive to them and to me. And I apologized, you know, I left right away, but I still apologize to my kids. You know, I'm so sorry. I, you know, put you in that situation and, you know, I know it wasn't a good thing and, you know, hopefully we've all learned from it. And so.
I think we also have to give ourselves a little grace there as well, because the trauma often comes because you have a child brain that processes things that the grown-ups are doing. And it doesn't always think logically or understand, oh, my mom had bipolar and schizophrenia. Well, my childhood brain did not process that. As an adult, I can process that. So as an adult, I know she did the very best she could. And she loved us and she did everything she could to make our world as wonderful as she could possibly make it. But my childhood brain didn't process reality in the same way. Mm-hmm. So I think we also, as we raise our own kids, have to know we are all doing the best that we can and trying to become better and trying to.
Yeah. I think about too, about how much better equipped I am as a mom, like even in the present, first of all, compared to when I first became a mom, not to mention like compared to like what tools and resources my parents had and what was passed on to them. Like when I think about how my parents were raised and how they raised us, I'm like, y'all leveled up. Y'all did a really good job compared to how you were raised. But at the same time, like my parents, like I have 7 siblings. So well, you guys, I was like, definitely have some little T trauma in there just being the middle child.
Oh, yeah.
And feeling like, you know, I didn't have the attention. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. So you got to like think about that. Yeah. Go ahead.
You know what I did find interesting is how working no BS and how it correlates with this book talking about parenting is I've been able to see how, even I'm kind of like Kathy was, and I don't feel like I had huge traumatic events, but there were traumatic thoughts that have become beliefs for me, right? Mm-hmm. Things that my parents would say. Mm-hmm. And like as I'm doing my own self-coaching and things like that. Well, like I remember my father said when I was a young kid, you know, he and my mom were having an argument and I said, oh, I offered a solution of some sort, right? And he was like, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. I've carried that into my 40s that I don't know what I'm talking about. And so as I've been doing this work with no BS, I disassociated there and I use food to like keep me from talking almost.
Yeah, you know, to like, shut up yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, so it's not traumatic maybe, but like at a soul level.
Like your body remembers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was your self-esteem. That's where, you know,
right. I took that as truth. Right. And so it's just, that's been kind of cool to see that there is trauma just in the beliefs that we choose to carry into adulthood. Yeah. That's kind of what's come up with me when it comes to parenting and how it relates with this work, which is awesome. I'm glad that I realized that, because now I can parent myself and my little child and say, what did I need? And it's been cool. Yeah.
Imagine how many of us like got one version of that or another of like when we were having an emotion, whether it was like anger, upset, crying, like crying, especially. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard that a lot inside the membership, like stop crying. You shouldn't be crying. Mm-hmm. Like that was how our parents reacted to us. Right. Mm-hmm. And then again, which is why we learned to cope with like eating food. Mm-hmm. Or drinking,
denying our realities. It was just very
which is like why we're good at it now as adults of like shutting out reality, and we have to learn how to like unwind all of that. Like gosh, how many no BS women, like we say like feel your feelings, and it's like what are you talking about?
Oh, so
like, that's the scariest thing ever. Because as a little kid you were punished in a way for that, maybe, or like told not to do it or got a negative reaction, you know. Pat Gelson says, I can see so many mistakes I made raising my children. That's me too. That's everybody. I think And I just try to be like, okay, and I'm learning how to be a better mom every single day. I fail, when I was losing my weight, like I'm failing there. And as a mom, like, I guess I'm failing here too, you know?
And I think also another key is in the relationship. It's in the relationship, because we're never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to say the right things always or do the right things. But by having and by working on the relationships, I saw someone in the chat just talk about that relationship, starting with yourself as we build that. Then you can build your relationship with your kids, mistakes, warts, wrinkles, and all, if you tend to the relationships.
And I think part I think a part of this work is just accepting, like, sometimes we're going to be imperfect, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's our relationship with ourselves, our relationships with those around us. Like, that's just a part of being human, you know? Sometimes other people cause us little trauma. Sometimes we cause other people little trauma. That's just the nature of,
it's life.
Yeah.
And we just
I heard someone say earlier today of the quote about, you know, when you know better, you do better. And, you know, that is true. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I have grandchildren now, so I feel like I can enrich their lives, maybe hopefully better than I did my own children, you know, because with your own children, you're so freaked out about getting them dressed and to school and, you know,
go, getting to work.
Yeah.
Think of how much impact, like us sitting here working on ourselves, everybody here listening on the call, listening to the replay, all of us here healing ourselves, working on ourselves, doing this work. It's creating an impact on us, but it's also creating a secondary impact on those around us. And then they're impacting. And that's a beautiful thing to make note of.
Yeah. I loved how in the study guide on page 7, which is chapters 1-4, the quote, we can provide ourselves with the nurturing way we may not have received as children. We can change what we eat, how often we exercise, our state of consciousness, and the thoughts and beliefs we express. Because I even notice myself overcompensating where, you know, I want my kids to say all the things because I felt like I couldn't. And it's like, well, there's got to be a good balance. So as you were saying that, I thought, we can bless our children in a way that will help, hopefully, help them and empower them with the skills that we're learning. Like, you're right. We're just impacting generations to come by doing the work ourselves.
Yes, generations to come. That is so true. I love that. Do you guys have any other favorite quotes to share, or just anything that was really compelling for you from the book? I wrote down page 25. I really like that quote. Let me see if I can find it. Oh, it's, I think I shared this in the Facebook group. The reality is this: few of us have any real connection to who we really are, yet we want others to see through all of our layers of self-betrayal and into our core selves. That one.
I love that one too. I shared that on my personal Instagram. It was so moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was also geeking out on that chapter where she talks about like the vagus nerve.
Yeah,
how the brain and the stomach talk to each other in that way.
That is so true.
Yeah. I was just geeking out. I was like, what? Like, I kind of knew that, but not really, you know?
To have known that 20 years ago would have, I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. So you're telling me if I'm stressed out, if I'm like fight or flight stress mode all the time, my body won't even absorb all the nutrients from the food I'm eating. I'm like, that makes sense when some of us say like we ate, but then we're hungry again. Like, it's like, wow. Or when she talked about like the biggest indicator for how long you live is like how you breathe or something like that. I was like, what? This is crazy. I bet a lot of us are living life just breathing shallowly and in stress.
Well, and I do. When I started having all this stress a couple of years ago, it was right before COVID hit. I was having bowel issues all the time and missed work. And I've never missed work, and they wrote me up because, you know, I had all these respiratory things going on, and then I have had COVID twice, and it's just been a mess. But I started taking yoga teacher training, and then we ended up having to do it online because of COVID. But the breathing thing has helped me so much. And, you know, when she talks about that too, about, you know, just even being able to be conscious and know, you know, where, you know, being aware of your surroundings and that kind of stuff. And I think it's helped tremendously. But I had so many issues, and I'm like, what is all, it has to be all stress.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one thing that I started working on, like as I finished work and would start transitioning into my evening with like dinner and the kids, and they have soccer tonight and getting them to bed on time. But oh, like the kindergartner has like a project due this week. What, like, why is she in kindergarten with projects due and all of that? And one thing that I would work on is just like, okay, as I'm going into my evening, just three deep breaths, right? So that I'm not, you know, flabbergasted and frazzled and stressed out, and next thing I know I'm yelling, like just three deep breaths. Or another thing,
you know, I think one of the coaches posted on Facebook, it might have been just the No BS page, and she was it Coach Heather who was posting about breathing, and she included a YouTube video of this lady who talks about energizing breath. And since I haven't been working, that's one of the things I try to do every morning is do energizing breath. And then I sit and plan my meal. And then, you know, I drink my coffee and I have like this little routine, and it's helped me tremendously.
Yeah. I think breath work is becoming more and more popular. Like, I've heard of that. I don't really know a ton about it, but I know just like how life coaching and weight loss coaching wasn't a thing several years ago. Like, I think now like breath work, like there's people like learning all about that and helping people.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. There's breath. A lot of info on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can always help you, right? Like hand on chest, taking a deep breath, even like before you sit down and have a meal. How many of us are just sitting down and we're coming in and eating that way? Yeah. And like fight or flight, and we're not really there. So that can also be something good to try, either if you're transitioning and you want to make sure you're not going into the next part of your day all stressed, you can take a few deep breaths, or going into your meals, taking a deep breath.
Yeah. A lot of people are talking about it too in the chat, and yeah, that's a good book, Breath by James. Yeah. Yes. But But it is. It's my daughter has anxiety. I've never been one to have anxiety. And though evidently I am, because it comes out in my bowels, but she's always talking about having panic attacks. And I'm like, you need to deep breathe. You need to, you know, try to do relaxation breathing. And, you know, I have a hard time getting her to do anything like that, but it helps me.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes when there's something physical going on, some kind of malady, some kind of pain, some kind of something going off, like that's off physically. I bet a lot of the time it's tied back to stress, anxiety, how you're feeling, what your thoughts are, right? Which is why we focus so much on thought work here inside of the membership.
So can I share more quote on page 18, the very bottom, and then into 19. She was talking about one of her clients, Allie, and she says, the more she wrote about herself in a kinder way, the more she began to notice the constant chatter of negative self-talk running through her head all day long. And I loved this part. I think it's what all of you coaches and Corinne are trying to get through our heads, right? The more she started to trust herself, the quieter the chatter became, and the more her daily acts of self-care and self-love started to extend out into the rest of her life. And I was just like, that right there, you know, this future self-journaling and talking about what we want to create. Like, it's just so, it was so cool to see all of the parallels through this book.
Oh yeah. Everything's connected. Like even that, it was the June book study of last year. What was it? Gosh,
I wasn't
hearing that Karen Kinnick book. That Karen Kinnick book.
Words to Eat By.
Words to Eat By. Thank you. That's a really good book. And it's short. It's not too long. That's a really good book if self-talk is something that you're working on, especially as it relates to food and eating and weight loss. That reminded me of that when you read that quote.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why I loved it, is because I'm reading that book also right now.
Yeah.
I'm about finished with it. So I just noticed, oh yeah, we can create our reality by how we talk to ourselves, you know?
Yeah. And for those of us that are like, but I've always had the shitty self-talk. I don't even know how to start talking kinder to myself. Like that's a good book that like, you know, she's come up with it for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also liked in the beginning where she was working with that one client and she told her just to like drink the glass of water every morning.
The one.
Yeah. That was the same one. That was that. Yeah. Alley. Yeah.
Yeah. And just keeping that one promise to yourself, how powerful that is. Yeah.
And then looking back and giving ourselves credit, because it's like when I initially read the one glass of water, I was like, oh, and I'm doing nothing. And what's wrong with me? And then I sat down. I was like, wait, hold on. There's like this whole morning routine, kind of like you're talking about, Kathy. I now have this like whole morning routine that I do consistently that is including the getting ready for DSB. So it's like there's all this stuff that I'm doing. And I'm like, what do I mean I'm not doing anything? And so it's kind of exciting to look at that. And it all did. It all started with a 24-hour plan.
Mm,
and then doing the 24-hour plan daily. And then now
it's helped a lot. I noticed that too in my journaling. I was just telling my friend today, I said, I felt so out of it the last couple of days. Like I haven't gotten anything done. And I've just been taking a nap or, you know, and the weather's been bad. And then I started listing all the things I've done and I'm like, oh, I got my hair cut. I got my car worked on. I went to the grocery store, you know, and I'm like, I did get a lot done.
That's amazing. Yeah. Somebody in the chat says it's like, can I just that keeping the promise to yourself, the one glass of water, it's like, can I just?
Oh, yes.
But yeah, for us NoBS women, the glass of water was just the 24-hour plan. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. Corinne's on to something. She's smart, isn't she? She's smart for sure. Yeah. Okay. That first question in the study guide where she, you know, it's talking about like emotional addiction, like the emotions that we're addicted to, right? We're used to going to them automatically and they're familiar, they're comfortable, even though they don't feel good. We're just, we've been going there since we were little even. Did you guys find out what those emotions were for you?
Yeah. For me, it's worry and anxiety.
Overwhelm.
Overwhelm, worry, anxiety. What else?
I'm with Linda and Kathy.
Unworthy.
Yeah.
Unworthy. Anxiety. Mm-hmm. Someone is saying in the chat. Yeah, you guys tell us in the chat, like, what are those emotions? For some of us, maybe it was like anger, right? Or frustration or blame.
No, I never did anger. We were not allowed to be angry.
Mm.
Yeah. So I think that's my issue. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say my father was actually like highly emotionally reactive. And so it was like in very erratic and just we like walking on eggshells, like always constantly. And so it wasn't that we weren't allowed to be angry. I wouldn't say, but I have a fear of anger. So Kathy, to hear you say that, it's like, yeah. So I don't get like angry ever. Cause I'm so terrified of anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. See, I feel like for me, it was anger. Like growing up, like my mom, like she would yell a lot, not like that. She was like being mean. She wasn't mean to us, yeah. But I mean, you can imagine she had 8 kids of all ages, working full time, running a household. She had to yell at us just to like try to get us in line, 5 boys. So like yelling was normal in our house. And then like, as I became a teenager, like then like I became a yeller. I would yell, like that would be my reaction, was just anger, yelling, losing my temper. And that was the case for a long time. And it's not until like I started doing thought work and join OBS and everything that I've like been able to like unwind that and like no longer like automatically yell all the time. Cause it just, that's how it felt. Like you just yell.
Coach Yesenia, you are so like whenever I'm in a call with you, my first thought is like, Yesenia is just so calm all the time and just like so even tempered and even keeled. Where you would ever like raise your voice is blowing.
Well, thank you, but I can yell if I want. So my family would find that funny because again, like especially as a teenager, like my parents split up. So again, it was all very like everything was very like unsettled and things were like crazy things were happening. And yeah, it was just like reacting, anger, yelling, like, yeah. But I'm like I said, I'm glad I found thought work because I'm like, oh my gosh, it's completely changed the trajectory of my life. So very thankful for it. Okay. Pat in the chat says, yeah, children are to be seen and not heard. How many of you guys got that one? Yep. Awesome. Okay, let me see. I had another question for you guys. Was there anything in the book that didn't resonate with you? Or anything that was, you know, confusing to you or anything like that? Or any questions that came up for you around the book? I feel like she covered a lot in the book. Mm-hmm. Like you could go back and reread book over and over. You could take it one chapter at a time and stay there for a while and just continue to get a lot out of it.
Yeah. Though I did think I was just flipping through, mine's on my Kindle, but the part where they had the elderly people in the nursing homes and they put some of them in a place and told them they were 20 years younger and to live like they did 20 years before. Yeah. And they even like changed the environment and took out the mirrors. And then they, had the control group, which was the people that just lived like they did now. And they found that the ones who acted younger,
remember what you were needing
talking about? Yeah. It was the power of belief. It was on page 33. Yeah. And
yes, I remember that.
Yeah. It was so interesting because then they checked the people afterwards and it was like their physical health was better. They looked younger, they acted younger. And, I know I've always tried to do that. My dad was always one. He lived to be 90 some, but he always used to say, yeah, you just got to think that you're younger and always have something to work for. And people tell me, oh, you're not as old as you are, you know, because I hope that I act young, but I do believe that. So, you know, that future self, you know, thinking about, you know, and I've already done vision boards before, but I know they're doing that this weekend. But, you know, I always say that I, you know, envision myself as a younger person doing younger things. And that is my goal, is, you know, to be that way. So I want to, you know, keep my weight down because I don't want that to hinder me.
Yeah. Yeah. As a part of staying young and
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder how much of age is a mental construct like that. Yeah.
Oh, I think it is a lot, you know.
I think a lot of it is too.
Yeah, I've taken care of a lot of older people in the hospital, and there are many that, you know, are very young at heart, and then other people who are younger than me who act like they're 80, you know, and it's all how they choose to live.
Yeah.
The choices we make. Mm-hmm.
What did you guys think about, you know, when she talked about like inner knowing or intuition, what did you guys think about that?
Just how we're like through life, how we, in so many ways, I mean, I'm sure everybody can relate to this. We are basically told not to trust, like we're taken away from that. Mm-hmm. So to get back to it is so just like, oh man.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things that can be considered, you know, kind of woo or out there or weird, but I love that she talked about it because it is. It goes back to like being your authentic self, your true self. It's like also trusting that inner knowing that you have, that inner wisdom, and seeing what it has to say, right? Especially when we're in, you know, tough mm-hmm. spots in our lives.
Yeah. Which makes me think of the quote that you really loved, Yesenia. And then Tracy, when you were saying that you are your own healer, and it also makes me think of, you know, trusting your body and relationships we get and just everything where we look so much, you know, like, of course, like growing up as children, we needed external things to take care of us and external, you know, all of that external stuff. But then we get older and we keep on looking externally. And so then it's like just that realization and recognition that we have everything that we need to give ourselves everything we need within ourselves, and just, you know, reminding ourselves, or at least for me, like just reminding myself, like, okay, what do I need? And then how can I give that to myself in this moment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love the idea of inward out, because you're right. We look outward, you know, even we're talking about this book, but I think it's good to take that. And then how does it resonate with us, and what makes me feel good? And checking in there. And I think that's why thought work and journaling is so important, right? It's because we're able to, what do I think? What do I want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I've done a lot of reading the last couple of years, and I've really tried to work on, you know, things that make me happy and what are my needs. You know, I have a need for connection. I'm a people person, you know, and that is important. My need for learning, you know, so I'm constantly wanting to learn new things. Mm-hmm. So even just being aware, finding out what your own areas of strength or, you know, what's that is important. I think.
Mm-hmm. Stephanie in the chat says, learning that we can trust our intuition. We know what we need, and it's usually not cookies. Yeah.
They're just so easy to reach for.
Yeah. Cookies are my weakness.
Yeah. A good question that I came up with to help us connect to our inner knowing or our inner wisdom, our intuition, whether, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, or, you know, with your weight loss, a good question for that is, what do I ultimately know to be true? Whether we're battling with shitty core beliefs or something from our past or a relationship or looking in the mirror, what do I ultimately know to be true? I use that question with my private clients a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when those thoughts of like, I can't lose weight, I'm not going to be able to keep it off, or I can't, you know, it's too hard, or.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing I've picked up even from listening to Corinne, or even in the other things, is, you know, what are the facts? What is the truth? You know, the a weight on the scale, that's a number, you know, but, you know, how you feel, I can look at my arms and think, oh, those are attractive. But then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, they look huge, you know, and it's my perception. But, you know, what is the fact? The fact is I have arms, they work, they look pretty good. You know, and that I think is the hard part. But I've found that to be so helpful for me when I keep trying to think, okay, what is the fact? And when she said, go through your journal even and just highlight facts and not feelings. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh man, yeah, I have more feelings than facts in here.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the four N's, I don't know how many of you guys went to camp, but I know she's talked about it in other places, and it'll be in one of the new courses that's coming out. You know, Corinne's going to outline the four N's: the notice your thought, normalize it, neutralize it. What's your next best thought? That can be a really good process for that as well.
Yeah. I forget those. Yeah. That's so true.
Yeah. And when she talked, I don't remember when she talked about this, but when Corinne was talking about it just made me think of with the whole intuition thing, like, and then the beautiful thing that you said, Yesenia, that I'm going to have to listen to again so that I can write that down. But so.
Quote?
Yeah. Or,
it was on page 25. Or what do you mean?
You said the thing that you came up with for our intuition, for getting in touch with our intuition.
Oh, what do I ultimately know to be true?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it was like, it made me think of something. I don't remember when it was, but it was Corinne. And she was talking about like a thought that you have, and just let it like drop down into your body. Like, does that even feel true? And so many times we can like, you know, like we might be spinning out about something, but if we let it drop into our body and it's like, wait, I don't even believe that. And then that, I think, just where it ties in for me is it's like, okay, then that's where I can kind of like my intuition comes in saying like, yeah, that's not even true. And what, if that's not even true, clearly your body thinks something else is. So what then is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, what are the four N's? It's notice your thought, normalize it, neutralize it, and next best thought. And that'll be coming out like more in detail in one of our next courses. And I know Corinne's talked about it on like at least one other previous call, but I can't remember which one. If anybody has more questions about that, just write into Ask Coaches and we'll help you with that. But it'll be coming out more in detail anyway. So
someone mentioned yesterday's Q&A.
Yeah.
And she did talk about that. Well. And it was that I thought, she watched me eat, not stopping enough last night, and keep eating those Easter candies.
I think everybody was taking notes on that call.
I was like, oh, that's my one thing I just keep going back to. And it was such a good call. If people out there haven't watched it yet, it was yesterday morning's Q&A.
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow. No, the replay will be out tomorrow, so just look for that. For the date will say 4:20, and it's the No BS course Q&A with Corinne. That'll be one to listen to, and the process that she goes through in there, it's really good because
it was.
I feel like the way she's teaching us now, she's incorporating more and more of like, again, the mind-body connection and settling down your nervous system and helping your body feel safe to not overeat, helping you feel safe to lose your weight, helping you feel safe to, you know, be true to yourself. Yeah.
The step-by-step processes are helpful for me anyway, that kind of break it down like that, because it does slow my mind down a little bit. And I like that that this book has that too. At the end of each chapter, it has just some step-by-step things. And you don't have to try them all, and you don't have to like, you know, feel like a huge, but it does kind of slow your roll a little bit so that you can process what you're actually thinking about as you read the book. Mm-hmm. That was very helpful.
Yes, for sure. Okay. So as we finish up here, the last thing I'd like for us to answer is, You know, what are the 1 to 3 things you're going to start applying from the book, whether it's to your weight loss, to your life, to what are the 1 to 3 things that you are taking away from the book that you're going to start applying? And if you're in the chat, you can also post in the chat and let us know.
The inner child work.
Yeah.
That's one mm-hmm. for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were at a life coach school event. The coaches and Corinne were at a life coach school event just a couple weeks ago. And there was a life coach school coach on there who did a presentation, and she was talking about inner child and how sometimes the way that we talk to ourselves, it feels like we're just making an observation. But if you were to say that same thing to your 5-year-old self, it would not feel like an observation. It would actually sound kind of cruel, right? Like some of us, who was it earlier that said, oh, I haven't been doing anything. You've been doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that sounds like, you know, not that bad. I'm just kind of just saying what happened. I haven't been doing anything. I've done nothing the last 2 weeks. I have so many private clients who say stuff like that. And if I could eliminate one sentence from our vocabulary, it would be that. Like, oh, I've done nothing. Like, really? Because every time I ask more about that, it's never true. But if I were to tell that to my 5-year-old, like, you've done nothing, it would be kind of cruel. It would be kind of mean.
Yes, yes. That is true.
Yeah. So sometimes that's some of that inner child work that we need to do, is just goes back to that self-talk. Like if I were speaking to my 5-year-old self, and that this coach talked about, she keeps a picture of herself from when she was 5, and she keeps it like right on her desk, like on her wall, so she can see it and she can remember like that, how she wants to talk to herself is with the love that she would give to her 5-year-old self. Cause really that part of you is still listening. She's still in there. Yeah.
I think I also want to, by going back and taking care of my inner child, I also really like the future self journaling.
Yes, I was going to say that. That was my next.
Yeah, to you know, go forward into the future. Where do I want to go? Where do I want to be?
Mm-hmm. So future self?
Mm-hmm. I that a lot.
Yeah, it was like, oh, Corinne is showing up all over this.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Where do you guys want to be? And like, let's say a year from now, how do you envision your future self that's different from where you are right now?
Being active and playing with my grandkids, hiking. Yes.
Hiking.
Yes. Hiking and camping and biking and doing all,
the
stuff.
Things.
Yes. Having fun.
Like every time I think future self, the first thing that pops into my head is this vision of me like running.
Yeah.
Not obsessing about food all the time. That's where I was. Having a different life, having other things in my life besides food.
Yeah.
I do have to show you
The best of healers is good. The best of healers is good cheer, is what that says.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I said it was a sampler that I did years ago, and I just love it.
That's amazing.
Made me think of that when we talk about healing.
Yeah. Yeah. Kelly, are you doing DSV since you're picturing yourself running?
Yes. Yes. I'm doing the whole Kathy thing right now where I do a lot of like 1.5 to 2 hour walks just on my own, just because I love walking. I've created a very lush experience around it. And so, So now I had like a knee injury a few years ago. And so I've been very nervous about running again. But so I've started doing I started with 30 seconds on, 4.5 minutes off. And so I'm thinking as of right now, the plan is to do 1 minute on of jogging and then 4 minutes of walking for 3 hours. And I'm super excited. So yes. That's everybody awesome. Should do DSV. Everybody do it.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for sure. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining tonight. and discussing the book with me. We'll be doing part two in just a couple of weeks, and we'll be discussing the rest of the book and finishing up our April book study. So I will see you guys then. Thank you so much. I hope I see you ladies on that call as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.